CliffCentral.com.
Hello, hello, hello. Testing. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Sounded like you were in the toilet there for a second, were you?
Really?
Yeah.
No, you know.
It sounded like you were, there was flushing and there was some toilet noises and a bunch of that stuff going on. What? It's feeding time. Oh, you got the animals all around, right?
Of course.
Want some ASMR?
Yeah, go with some ASMR. Let's do that. So we're hearing noises now. This is what turns people on the internet.
Oh.
Like breathing, eating, all that kind of shit. It's a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Did you just have some of your cat food?
What did I? No. Cats did.
I'm hearing some lapping noises.
I'm definitely hearing a toilet flushing in the background.
No, not that.
Hey, how excited are you about alcohol sales opening on the 1st of June? No, I mean, seriously, like, is this a life-changing thing for you? Have you forgiven everything else? Are you happy with government now?
No, right. Because I still can't buy cigarettes.
Oh, right. No, it doesn't mean I've forgiven everything, but I definitely am excited about it. And, you know, I think a lot of people were feeling that there will be a major announcement last night, you know, because he couldn't have given us a 2.0, gave us a couple of days ago, because, I mean, he wasn't happy with that.
I don't know why he didn't. So why do we have to wait till 1st of June? Why do we have to sit through this week again? With nothing changing.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just like so dumb. They're playing for time. It's like watching a sports match, something I don't do very often, as you know, and then nothing happens for those last 10 minutes because the one side is so far ahead in the goals that the other side just has to desperately try, and they just defend, and they keep it in their half, and then everything's cool.
No, well, the thing is,
that is very technical.
Do you know how much preparation needs to go in? For the alcohol outlets, they have to like restock their shelves and plan on the masses coming.
Oh, please.
They've got to demarcate their floorings.
They've been waiting for this their whole lives. What are you talking about? Fuck.
But we already, in our house, my sisters and I were already having the conversation.
Yeah.
Because we were all going to sit as a family and watch the president deliver his speech.
Yeah.
But we couldn't be too obviously excited.
About the liquor because your parents are there?
Yes, because that would make my parents look at us and go, look at these drunkards of our children. Yeah. So we had to prepare, like, okay, you know what? We're going to be excited. You just keep it to yourself and then we'll debrief later.
So that is so ridiculous.
My dad was the first to respond. He was super excited.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom as well.
Well, yeah. Leanne, just remember that your dad isn't the priest around here, okay? Yeah. So I think he announced that we'll be going to... There was something else that he announced before alcohol.
Yeah,
I think it was the fact that we are officially in level 3, so we could all jumped up and we all got excited over that.
Well, it's,
we settled down.
It's little things, like we aren't, there's no curfew at 8 o'clock.
Oh, it was the curfew, yes. The curfew we all got excited about, and then we all settled down.
Look what good slaves we've turned into. Yes, Amasa. Yes, Amasa, you a canceller curfew, Amasa.
And thank also you, exercising at any time of the day.
Thank you for beating me. Thank you for stopping beating me, Massa.
My lord.
Yeah, our in-shape country just cannot wait to get out there and exercise.
Well, yeah, it's not about being
like in shape. Do me a favor.
Aren't we like
that's about
fourth,
the freedom.
We are the fourth most obese country in the world.
That's it.
No.
Look, I hear the gripes on personal freedom, but that one has, I've had enough of it. People, I've seen you at the shop. Stop it.
Yeah, I don't buy that. That suddenly people are going to all be jumping around and, you know, behaving themselves, exercising, and you're going to see like all the morbidly obese people going for a little trot.
No, I think we're going to see a decline in more and more people going out to exercise as everyone else is going back to work.
Yeah.
So things are going back to inverted commas normal.
Well, I had a great weekend. I had a really nice weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was chilled on Friday. And Saturday morning, woke up quite early. And I went to a birthday party. I mean, I don't care anymore. Like, I honestly don't give a shit about your curfews or anything else. I stayed over at this house that we had the party at. And we drank and we partied, man. We made a big fire. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like this was a different weekend at all to the weekends that I used to have pre-COVID.
I'm going to report you.
Go ahead. You won't know where I was and it's too late. What are you going to do? Go and find evidence? Fuck you.
One of our avid listeners, of mine, and we had a conversation yesterday on Google Meet. Mm-hmm. And to me, I was like, okay, everyone's still observing. She just like, oh yeah, I was at a braai last night, and then on Friday, and I'm so hungover. Lockdown's over, guys.
Yeah, it's
people have been out yet.
That's the point. It's just so stupid that we're putting up this big show. Like, we still care about this shit.
You know, but my bigger picture thinking isn't about the lockdown, what we can or what we can't do. I'm still concerned about the virus. So I'm just getting a feel that most people aren't concerned about the virus anymore.
Of course we're not. Did you not get a little embarrassed for the president when he said we've lost almost 400 people? I was like, we've had fucking taxi accidents in this country that more people have died in than that.
It's coming, guys.
Seriously.
It's coming.
It's coming. What? Well, fucking hurry up, because I've started to lose patience with this virus, and I'm not at all afraid of it. I really am not. Absolutely zero.
What do you want to change for you?
You know what I'd like? I'd like us to just pretend this whole thing never happened. Seriously, get on with it.
Why and how so?
Well, look, I've told you, I don't mind being at home. I don't mind not being able to buy cigarettes because I don't smoke. I don't mind not being able to buy liquor because up to now I've had plenty and I've still got some to carry on. If I wanted to drink, I'll exercise when I want anyway. I'm very happy. I'm a lucky guy. I live in a nice house. I've got my pet here. I've seen the family when I wanted to see them. But here's the problem, is that our business, like every other business in this country, is in big trouble. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The economy's been ruined. We've stopped everything for these 400 deaths. And potentially more. Surely, Anne, you say it's still coming. I'll believe it when I see it. But in the meantime, everything has stopped. And you know how many people I know personally who have lost their jobs, who have who've been told they've got like another month in that job and then the boss can't pay them anymore? You know how many companies are folding? And somehow we're celebrating the fact that we managed to flatten the curve. Are you kidding me? Like, you've caused untold damage. You could not do more damage to the economy. And trust me, the ANC tried. You could not do more damage than we've currently got in the economy. And people are like, oh, the virus. Human beings have had to deal with viruses forever. None of that has changed. Nothing. We're in exactly the same position we were in before. Viruses come and get some of us. That's what happens.
What about the difference between you being... Oh, goodness me.
I tried to blow my nose, yeah.
I think you were successful.
I was mostly successful. Carry on.
What about if you are ill and you need a hospital? Things have got really bad, okay? 40,000 people have died. There are a million... odd cases, and you now need a ventilator and a hospital bed, and there's nothing available.
You mean like hasn't happened anywhere in the world? You mean like that?
Well, no, there are places where people
are. Because, you know, there could also be a giant tsunami that would be so big it would reach Johannesburg, but, you know.
No, whoa. There's something in argument called a false equivalency.
Yeah, that's a false equivalency. That. Yeah, but that's my point. So, all these horror stories that the experts told us were on their way, none of it materialized. None. We're sitting here, we're almost 3 months down the line. 400 deaths? Look at the numbers. Someone has been lying to us. A lot of people have been lying to us. I'm not buying it anymore. And I'm not afraid of this thing. Turns out, unless you're very old or you're suffering from a number of other conditions, in which case you should be very careful anyway. You should go outside in a little plastic bubble. If you're that fragile, life is going to be getting you somehow, right? It could be the exhaust fumes from someone else's car. It could be some shit you step in on your way out of your house that's got something in it that's going to take you out. There's something to get you when you're that frail.
Well, listen, we've been at this ad infinitum. I don't want to go on about it.
Please say it properly. Ad infinitum.
Ad infinitum.
All right. So, let's not go on about it. Actually, you know what? So at this party on Saturday, there weren't a lot of us because obviously, you know, most people are still following the lockdown rules. So we decided.
How many people were there?
Maybe about 10. But, you know, it's at a place where they had lots of rooms so people could stay over, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we decided at the beginning of the party, no one was to talk about COVID or the spread of the virus or the lockdown. We were not going to talk about that. We would only talk about things that we might have talked about in 2019. And it was actually really pleasant. So that's maybe what we should start doing on the show.
Was that at Stalin's house telling you what to talk about?
No, it was a decision we all made because we're just sick of it, Bulelo. Like you just indicated now, we've had this conversation, you know, nonstop since this thing started.
No, but my point was this, is that last time we took a sort of a laissez-faire approach was the HIV situation. And I think science and the general decision makers are probably suffering a trauma of, oh, holy smokes, last time we weren't conservative. Look what happened.
No, I agree with you. But the fact is, like, we had a president and a minister of health then who just denied the science outright.
No, 100%. And I think even America got it wrong with HIV. So yeah. I think that's why you see the CDC and Fauci being so conservative. Right or wrong, time should tell.
No, you might be right. I tell you now, this thing is going to become one of the big stains on humanity's record. Because people will go, how could you ruin the lives of so many millions of people because you were afraid?
I don't know, Gareth. We made the Kardashians one of the richest people in history. So if that isn't the biggest thing.
Where does that fit into this conversation?
Now, there's a false equivalence if ever I've heard of
it. It's a pretty big stain on our
society. Right.
But
Leanne, you are excited about the liquor sales opening up on the 1st, but there's going to have to be some kind of process because I am not going near a liquor store from Monday next week until Friday next week. There's no way.
So a lot of people that I know are ordering directly from wine farms and those sort of establishments, sort of wine umbrella bodies and wine stores.
Who are running great specials, by the way.
Yes, very good.
Yeah.
Is it called the Back to Drunk?
They can only...
Is it called the Back to Drunk special?
Yeah. They can only start processing those orders after lockdown. So they say it'll take a day or two to reach you.
Okay.
Otherwise, there is the going to straight to the bottle store. Well, we await instructions now and whether that surname from A to M and N to Z will apply. So we'll see how that comes out as well. But I don't know if you know, but buying wine from Woolies and Pick and Pay and Checkers, especially your Checkers Odbins label and your Woolworths labels, are really reasonably priced. Like you can pick up a bottle of Chardonnay Pinotage or Pinot Noir, Chardonnay Pinot Noir for about 54 Rand. And you go to wine farms and bottles start at about 100 to 120 Rand each. Then you've still got delivery on top of that. So it might be worth to just wait for the shops to open, but you're probably going to have a bit of a fight in the queue.
Well, Leanne, you're the expert on this stuff. That's why I'm asking you.
Yep, delivered.
Now, this is actually your like area of expertise. Like you should be a consultant, a wine consultant to people.
Well, the thing is as well is that it's long awaited by a lot of people. There's some people who have been drinking illegal booze, as we know, that sort of pineapple beer and things that they've been brewing at home.
Ugh.
So at least it's here, but it's not in time to save some people. Just very recently, a man from Brakpan.
Oh, great. What did he do?
He died of organ failure brought on by homemade liquor that he allegedly bought from the illegal producer.
I wonder if they're going to count him as a COVID death. Watch.
Yeah, maybe. They've got to try
his comorbidity will be living in Brakpan.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And then there's the whole thing of cigarettes still not being able to be sold.
This is all because Nkosi Sana Dlamini Zuma has some kind of issue with smoking. She's always had it. She's the one who banned tobacco advertising and basically ruined the events industry for about 10 years.
And don't count her out. She still has to speak, so who knows what she'll say.
She might come up with, and to make sure you know that when people zol, they put saliva on their paper, right? She could come back with more bullshit this week. She could be like, no, we are going to ban tobacco products for another 7 years.
Dear Lord.
People will get their shit and they will move to Zimbabwe rather than have to deal with her.
Yeah,
I'll move straight to Mozambique and join the Pacific Blue Cigarette Clan. But a number of scientific studies are now showing that smokers are less at risk of contracting COVID than those who don't smoke. And
wow.
Yeah.
This thing doesn't like smoke.
At least 28 studies across a range of countries have found fewer smokers among COVID hospital cases than the general population. So more and more these studies are coming through. And I don't know, maybe there'll be a turnaround.
Well, of course, Nkosi Sana doesn't care.
No.
See, that counts as...
Non-smokers will never understand, and especially those who are not looking at the economic implications.
Yeah. Well, let's
see, that counters what was released a couple of weeks ago, which was, you know, smoking and how it harms the lungs. That is why it could also lead to your overall state of health. And that's why you could possibly get the virus. There's so much flip-flopping with this information that has made me, lockdown regulations aside, just made me very content on staying out of people's paths for the foreseeable future.
Well, it also shows you how you can manipulate the results to your advantage. So
everyone will justify it in their favor.
Yeah. So just looking at some of these statements now from these tests, 1.3 of those hospitalized with the virus were smokers.
1.3%? 1.3 people?
Sorry, 1.3% were smokers, while 14% were regularly using tobacco products. That was a study taken in America. In Paris, in a study finalized 2 weeks ago, smokers are 78% less likely to have an adverse outcome from the disease. So more and more of these tests are coming out. I don't know if, and I mean, these are from countries where tobacco is not banned. So it's not like they're trying to find a way around the law. These are just studies that have been done.
Okay.
Wait for it. Tomorrow I'm bringing my own research, which will show exactly why taking cocaine right now
is good.
Will help you against the virus. Yes.
This is why I said just do what you want. Do what you want. If the virus is going to get you, it's going to get you. But to live like this and live in fear and to think that you're going to somehow be carried out of your house in a body bag, chances are so small. Come on.
And for me, it's the same thing. Like being obese or not exercising can worsen your chances of getting the virus. Well, then how come being a couch potato is not illegal?
Yeah, exactly. There's 1,000 things that you could be doing to boost your immune system that you're probably not. Don't suddenly tell me you care about your health. I don't believe you. I just don't believe you. I think you're full of shit. Seriously, it's just so weird. Like people in their heads, they've got this idea of how good they are as a human being and how they're trying their best and they do what's right and blah, blah, blah. You don't. Stop it. Stop lying to yourself. It's just pathetic.
Isn't that what saves us all, though?
What saves you is your immune system, which you need to give some practice to occasionally. You know? If you live in a sterile bubble and you never come into contact with any pathogens, your immune system is just it's so weak that when you do go out into the real world, everything's going to get you. And that's not a bad argument. No matter what you're fighting, viruses, bacteria, funguses, whatever it is.
Mm.
You know that weird fungus?
Like Bubble Boy.
Yeah, you know that weird fungus that Mbulelo told us he had? Like, he wouldn't have had a chance if he hadn't gone out into the wild, you know?
Wait, that was an offline conversation.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. The one that you have been treating in Sia's office.
Oh, yeah. See. Oh, by the way, Sia, FYI, yeah.
Mbulelo? It is 6:23 on Monday morning. Please don't start with me.
Listen, I got to tell you, Mbulelo, you are still in the office there. Sia's office is the coldest room in the whole world in winter. You could turn the heater on.
Oh, yeah.
You can leave that heater on all night. That room is like a fridge. I tell you what, if the ancient Egyptians had found Sia's office, they would have put all their mummies in there just so that they'd be preserved forever. It's like the Arctic in that office. Nothing happens. You could put stuff, like, you know that stuff that you leave at the back of the deep freeze for like 2 years? We were talking about this a while ago. That if you left stuff like that in Sia's office in 100,000 years, they'd come back and they'd find it. And you'd still be able to defrost it and eat it.
Well, I've noticed my underwear takes 2 to 3 days to dry now instead of 8 hours.
Well, be careful your underwear doesn't freeze. You get icicles on it.
Well, then, is this also the time to let you know that I've been watching YouTube tutorials on how to make a shank out of probably anything?
Oh, wow.
Speaking of a shank, did you
What's the segue here?
did you not meet up with that hottie on the hill again, the guy who you saw every morning for your jog?
No.
What's happened with that? No. Leanne, do you know the story? Sia's got this dude that he keeps seeing.
Yeah, he's been eyeing him out.
Yeah.
I am mortified.
What happened?
I'm very sad to announce that our relationship has ended.
No.
You're not a homewrecker anymore.
But it hadn't even started.
Gareth, it had started in my head. We had, probably 6 glorious days together in my head. Okay. Now, I have chosen to end it because of how I embarrassed myself over the weekend.
What did you do?
As per usual, I noted the time on Saturday morning. I was making my way, doing a little brisk run. It was probably like 7:30 towards 8 a.m. this time around. And I saw him running down towards me. It was, I guess, just the panic of the moment where I thought, I need to make some sort of conversation with him. I need to say something so that he stops and we end up having...
Ferrari.
And because I'm a huge dodo, in the panic of the moment, I thought, Sia, you can say something that is relatively technical or athletic related, since we're both running, that'll get his attention.
How did you hold that much self-promise, Sia?
As he gets close to me, within earshot, I go, hey, good form.
Good form. Oh, God.
That is dreadful.
The ground should have opened up and swallowed you whole.
That's so bad.
That is the worst.
Well, you were mincing along the pavement.
Oh, great cadence. Yeah, that's going to get his
good
testosterone.
Form.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
Doesn't that sound very, like, athletic-y? Like, I don't know.
What a wonderful 4-foot strike. My God. What's your fartlek time?
Look at me, and he smiled, and he nodded his head and said, hey, good morning. And then he carried on running.
You probably would have been better off sneezing and going, not COVID.
I panicked, okay? And in my mind, good form sounded right.
Oh, my God.
But it's over. I went running again on Sunday. I definitely changed my route. I am not interested in seeing him again.
Shame, Sia. So that fantasy is shattered. You'll have to seek out some other fantasy relationship and make it up in your head, because this guy still doesn't know who you are.
No, he doesn't. Because now I know if I bump into him again, then I'll try to explain what I meant, and it will just be messier. It's rather, let's just let it die.
Yeah, we've got Selejo coming in this morning with the money shots, so we'll have a look at what the state of the economy, for whatever it's worth, is at the moment. We'll get to that. Got lots
what
of
is cool. salvageable?
Yeah, what we can salvage. It's like when there's been a dumpster fire, and you're like, well, what can I still get out of there? That's kind of where we're at. So, you know, to empty out all the crap.
The whole family photos.
Yeah, exactly. And then Alan Todd is the director of research at All Told. He's going to tell us what most South Africans are thinking at the moment and how people are feeling about just, you know, all the stuff we're going through, the lockdown, the COVID-19, everything. So we'll find out what he thinks. He's done an ongoing survey to give all South Africans a voice so that your opinions are heard. And we'll find out what the results of that survey are. That's a little bit later on. Please don't drink shit that you've made yourself in your back garden. It's really not a good idea. There are horror stories.
Time for that is running short. We've got 7 more sleeps.
Yeah. No, you got to be careful.
You say sleeps like we're little school kids getting ready and excited for an excursion.
We are. We're getting ready and excited to get, as I said, it's going to be the first of drunk, the 1st of June.
Ooh, what day is the 1st of June? Because
Monday.
It's a Monday.
It's Monday next week.
Yo.
And no one cares.
Who will be? Lest we forget, we will actually have to be working on that day.
All right, let's get on with it. We've got some headlines. Do you want to hear what's happening in the world?
Let's hear it.
Good.
Eid celebrations predicted for Sunday will now take place on Monday. And that has nothing, obviously, to do with the alcohol ban, because a good Muslim doesn't drink. But due to unconfirmed reports of moon sightings in the country, because that's what they wait for, believe it or not, we still don't trust the calendars. We have to actually wait for some imam to see it. No, really?
Yeah.
When the imam looks up and he sees the moon, oh, okay, it's time for Eid. As if, you know, the moon's going to go, woohoo, I'm going to hide again. That pesky imam, I'm not going to let him see me. Anyway,
yeah, it's a pretty consistent thing, the moon.
Yeah, pretty consistent.
There's people with gecko tattoos that'll tell you the moon and the ocean means it'll tell you your personality. So let's not blame their mums.
Yeah, when I was born, the moon was waxing.
And you're such a Sagittarius, Gareth. You just everything about you.
Anyway, so let's get back to Islam. News 24 reported that Muslim Judicial Council on Friday urged the Muslim community to exercise physical distancing and stay at home during upcoming Eid celebrations. The president made a whole special detour in his speech to commend Muslims for all their sacrifices during, you know, Eid and how they're going to, or rather during Ramadan and how they're going to celebrate now at Eid. He's like, well, we've got to be
our
careful.
Muslim compatriots.
That's right. He likes that word, compatriots. So the Muslim Judicial Council has asked the community not to gather during the moon sighting, not to visit their families on Eid, and instead to use technology to create special family moments. How exciting. They're all just so excited, the Muslims, I'm sure. All right, then a cop was killed in an alleged hijacking incident in Mpumalanga. A police officer was shot and killed after engaging alleged hijackers. Constable Thabo Mdluli is the second police officer to die this weekend after a constable was killed in Kwanyuswa. Is that right? In Hillcrest in Durban?
Sounds right.
Okay. I'm trying to read
that. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, they said there was a sergeant and another constable. They were on routine patrol in Kwaggafontein, and apparently they were driving along this road in Vlaklagte, and they came across a Toyota Corolla on the side of the road with the hazards flashing. As the three people approached the Corolla, it sped off. The policeman followed the car, resulting in a high-speed chase for kilometers until it stopped. A suspect alighted from the vehicle and shot at the police. So they returned fire, but the constable Mdluli was hit. While the other two uninjured members were attending to him, the suspects fled the scene on foot. Sure. Okay. There's still some dangerous people out there, everybody, and it's not
Wild Wild West.
Yeah, it's not just this virus you gotta look out for. There's some very dangerous people. EWN reporting this morning that Cyril Ramaphosa has congratulated Lesotho's new Prime Minister, Moiketsi Majoro. He's taken the position from Tom Tabane, who vacated his office this week. And apparently he's the new prime minister. And he was sworn in at the Royal Palace on Wednesday. His Excellency Cyril Ramaphosa, President of the Republic of South Africa and Chairperson of the African Union, has congratulated Dr. Moketsi Majoro on his appointment as the new Prime Minister of the Kingdom of Lesotho. Are we excited?
Let's hope he doesn't become a murderer.
Great. No more murderers, if you don't mind, Lesotho. Let's just try and... If you can have a Prime Minister that isn't murdering people, that would be a good start. Our standards are so low.
Well, that's awesome.
Someone non-murderous.
Yeah. Or just don't kill your wife.
Yeah, preferably.
Let's start at that. Let's start at that and we can work slowly at don't kill others, don't kill children.
Your wife.
Just don't kill your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Afghanistan, when last did you hear about them in the news? Afghanistan began a process on Sunday to release 2,000 Taliban prisoners as a goodwill gesture after the insurgents proposed a surprise ceasefire during the Eid holiday. So they've let out all these Taliban. Ghani said the government was ready to hold peace talks with the Taliban after accepting their offer of a three-day truce. Again, slim pickings. If the Taliban say, 3 days we won't shoot you and try to kill you, then everyone in Afghanistan is like, oh, they've changed. Let's be friends. So the decision to release the prisoners was a goodwill gesture and was taken to ensure the success of the peace process. I don't know why, like, the release of these prisoners by now, because these guys have probably been locked up since, what, the start of George W. Bush's war on terror. So they've probably been in there like 20 years. I reckon you just leave them. No one even remembers who they are on the outside.
Sure.
Really? I mean, like, what's the point? It's not like anyone on the outside's going, ah... Abdul, I have not seen you in a long time. Because, of course, all the Taliban shout.
Why do they have to shout in your mind?
In my head, the Taliban don't talk to each other. They shout at each other. Abdul, I don't even remember you.
Hey, what if Abdul's someone's barber? You know, you don't change your barber. A Taliban prisoner or not.
What, in 20 years?
Yeah, sure. A great barber is impossible to find, Gareth.
Absolutely. Right, I miss my Abdul.
That's very bizarre. Very bizarre comparison to make. But anyway, so the Taliban are thrilled because they're getting some of their guys back. They're going to be a lot older and probably a lot fatter than they were when they were running around the mountains of Afghanistan. So let's see.
And maybe... also, they are the experts of lockdown.
Oh, hell yes. That's one thing they can get right. And then Jacinda Ardern of New Zealand, she barely skipped a beat when the earthquake struck during a live television interview on Monday morning. She just carried on.
I need to see this video.
All right, so let me play the sound because she just looks up to the left and carries on with the interview. She's like, I'm not flipped by this. Yeah, listen to her.
Right. The last thing we need is another shed for Clark. He has two. We're just having a bit of an earthquake here, Ryan. Quite a decent shake here, but if you see things moving behind me, the beehive moves a little more than most.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
Yep, no, it's just stopped.
Oh, well, that's good news.
No?
We're
fine, Ryan. Oh, I'm not under any hanging lights. I look like I'm in a structurally sound place.
Okay.
I've measured a socks on the roof.
On the Richter scale. All right, so there she is, Jacinda Ardern, bravely just carrying on with her television interview. Isn't that exciting?
Oh, I like her.
Yeah, I like her too. She's not horrendous, but it's just that accent is so horrible. Okay, a couple of messages before we get to Selejo. You want to hear one or two? We are on WhatsApp on 0797482090. You can message us anytime you want. We'll also take your voice notes and anything else that you've got. So here's something from Michelle. Just for your info, there are rains of epic proportions happening in Cape Town. I may need to get a boat to get to the aquarium today. And apparently there's a serious cold front coming.
Snow in the Karoo confirmed.
Yeah, apparently the cold front is hitting on Tuesday. Temperatures in Johannesburg up to -1. Joy.
Oh, holy mother of God.
Yeah, and then Neil says, morning, I'm having a serious rant about the cigarette ban. Stop treating us like children and making us buy Zuma's illegal shit for 110 rand a box. I'm so angry. Freedom of choice is a basic human right. What are your parents doing, Gareth? Well, they're smoking illegal cigarettes.
Mm.
Like everyone else in the country. My mom's so thrilled. She's got like some horrible brand. There's probably just 98% cancer and 2% tobacco. And she's and it's got her initials on it, so MC. So she's like, oh, this is my brand. They made it specially for me. I think she might just carry on smoking that after the lockdown, just because it's got her initials on it on the little filter.
Monogram. Yeah,
I'm telling you, she's so excited. She's like, oh, this is my brand.
Yeah, but it feels like I've changed brands as well, because all I could get this time were those menthol ones with the little bubble in the filter that you've got to pop.
Oh, right.
And I'm actually really enjoying them. The only thing is they make me feel very cold when I'm standing outside.
Oh. All right. Well, so that's Neil's rant. He's over it. Just for your info, that's Michelle saying that there are rains coming. Sia, we're so embarrassed for you with that guy that you met on the hill. Yes, that's a word from Chiaro Bilue. And then my girlfriend knows a wine farmer 4 kilometers from our estate in Cape Town. Bought 46 bottles 2 weeks ago. They made out the invoice as an export. That's from JK. Nice job.
Clever.
Yes. Gareth, please say stay safe, stay home in the Jurassic Park voice again. Stay safe, stay home. That's what everybody should be doing.
Goodbye.
All right.
Goodbye.
Pat Taylor saying more people die from cancer and TB than what are going to die from COVID. I got it and survived, and I'm 62. Yeah, Pat.
Oh, wow. Good on you.
Oh.
Go, Pat.
Go, Pat. Devin says, I don't give a flying fuck anymore about this virus. I just want to live. Right. Orky says, he's got a lot of messages here. But apparently Victoria's Secret have come out with a face mask, which is just a string across your lips.
Oh. No, actually, like, remember a couple of months ago we spoke about Victoria's Secret and their demise. You know, they had to close a couple of stores in the US. Well, now with this lockdown period, they've had to close more than 250 stores internationally. So I think
it's women are going to be wearing horrible underwear.
It's back to, you know, basic bras and panties, not the diamond encrusted bras.
No, who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? Half the no, 80% of the population can't even fit into their stuff.
Yeah, that's true. But those are the people I'm not interested in, Leanne. So I don't know how much clearer I've got to make this. I mean, did I ever pretend?
I thought
to?
You liked enormous boobs.
Enormous boobs, perhaps, but the rest. I don't like the matching lower half that's enormous. don't you make that noise and scoff at me, Mbulelo. I know how you feel about fat people.
I plead the fifth.
Yeah.
Pull in your eyes.
All right. Shall we talk to Selejo and find out what's going on in the economy? What remains of it?
Yeah, we haven't heard from him in ages.
Yeah, it's about time.
The little amount of money we have left.
It'll be good to check in with him. How are you, Mr. Tsatsi?
Very good. How are you guys?
Good. You're looking very professional there in a hoodie this morning. Not your usual suit, your usual suit and tie when you pitch up to talk to us in the morning.
It's a nice change, I must say.
So, Selejo, there's lots to talk about this morning. Let's just start off with Mr. Price, because they are looking to raise some capital. I think everybody is right now, right?
Yes. Yes, it's an interesting announcement. So they're saying that they're trying to get shareholder approval to raise about 10% of their issued shares, which is about 3 billion rand at today's prices. And it's interesting because Mr. Price actually has the strongest balance sheet out of the clothing retailers. Doing this because they want to be on the front foot. They want to have the ability to make acquisitions. And given they do have a strong balance sheet, I think that is a believable reason. So it is quite an interesting angle that they're taking here.
Won't there be a lot of companies who are willing to sell a whole bunch of shares now just to get some money in? Because really, liquid capital at the moment is the real gold. People who have cash flow problems right now will be issuing shares. They'll be doing whatever they can to try and just keep their businesses alive.
Yes, I think for most companies, most businesses are going to be looking to do this on from a more defensive standpoint, because, as you say, you know, just to keep the lights on and sort out their cash flow issues. I suppose the question is, how willing will shareholders be to put forward this capital for companies that don't have balance sheets that are as good as Mr. Price's?
Yeah, well, if that's
a big question.
If they're doing it, I mean, we know Edgar's is now out of the picture. I mean, they're probably not going to make it at all. They may even have sold off the last bit of their stock to try and make some money to pay people. But that's going to severely change the picture, not just Edgar's, but all the others, of what the retail space looks like. And people are still going to need clothes, no matter how poor they are. And maybe Mr. Price is well positioned also, being a slightly less expensive option for people, to pick up some of Edgar's market that they're going to leave behind.
Yes, I think what we're seeing, not just in South Africa but abroad, is the retailers that were struggling before this crisis are really just not able to survive through it. And so the stronger retailers are just picking up market share. So that's companies like Mr. Price. So although not that they would see this as a positive crisis, this whole thing, but I think ultimately Mr. Price will come through this in a stronger competitive position than some of its peers.
All right, let's talk about Investec, because they published their results for the year that ended 31 March. What do those look like?
Yeah, so those were pretty, I would say, disappointing across the board, particularly out of the UK. So the bank and the wealth business in the UK. And really, if you think about it, in geographies are South Africa and the UK. And even before this pandemic, those are two geographies that have had macroeconomic issues. South Africa, we have no growth. In the UK, they were dealing with Brexit uncertainty. And so Investec's just been dealing with a really tough environment. Their earnings were down 24%. And in their outlook, they aren't guiding for things to get much better in the short term, which is understandable.
All right, so nothing to look forward to is what they're saying.
Yeah, essentially.
I mean, that's the good news, right? Because honestly, they probably have been more careful and cautious than some.
Yes, yeah.
All right, let's talk. Who is Afrimat? What are they?
So Afrimat is a small company, small South African company, and their initial major business was aggregates, construction materials, and they've recently acquired an iron ore company. And they're actually doing relatively well, which is, I suppose, encouraging, because there aren't too many South African companies in that position. And it's mostly because of this iron ore mine. So profits at this mine were up 60%. Because in addition to prices being strong, they also sold a lot more iron ore, and they managed to keep their aggregates business essentially flat. Really great results given the circumstances, although it is important to point out that these results were to the end of February, so a bit before the lockdown started.
Okay, so there's a little ray of light there with Afrimat. How about Spar?
So a company I think we're all familiar with. They also had a decent set of results, and it was actually driven by mostly their South African business. So in addition to South Africa, Spar also operates outside of South Africa in places like Switzerland, Poland, and Ireland. And their offshore businesses are actually the parts of their business that are dragging group earnings, keeping those earnings back. Holding those earnings back. But South Africa managed to grow its profits by 16%, which is a great result. And Spar surprisingly declared a dividend of 2 rand per share, which, you know, most companies at this time are cutting dividends or postponing dividends. So that was really, really well taken by the market, and the share price reacted very positively on the day. It was up about 6%.
Now, obviously, they would have given no detail about what happened after March, but Spar is, being a food retailer, one of the few businesses that would have been able to keep going during lockdown. Do we have any idea of how the other retail businesses that were allowed to trade have fared?
So it seems that generally these retailers, food retailers, or even pharmacy and drug retailers, they are benefiting from a comparative standpoint in that, as you say, they can stay open. But even they are seeing volumes decline after that initial, I suppose, flurry of people stocking up on food or stocking up on sanitizer, etc.
Yeah.
So volumes have come down, and on a year-on-year basis are lower. I mean, Pick and Pay, for example, did allude to the fact that their higher margin stuff, which is where they make most of their money, putting those goods at the moment. So it's even for these food retailers, it's definitely a tough time at the moment.
Soho Sun have got to be one of those businesses that we're worried about, because hotels, hospitality, tourism is just broken. And we don't know how long it's going to take for it to be fixed. But how are Soho Sun looking in their results that they gave? They gave a trading update, right?
Yes, things are looking very tough for them, as we can expect, I suppose. They are lobbying through industry bodies to actually have these travel restrictions relaxed, so that they can start opening their hotels. Because, as you say, you've got no revenue, and you still have a very fixed cost base, and it's absolutely killing them at the moment. So their adjusted earnings per share are down by about 33%. It's the trading update, so they gave a range. And they operate in the eye of the storm, really. I mean, they said that in March, which is usually a peak month, they had a significant revenue decline. They didn't give a number, but you would imagine it's pretty dire. So sure. A very tough situation for them, really.
Salehu, what about the Saab decision the other day to reduce interest rates by another 50 basis points? What do we make of that? And do you think it's going to help people who are saddled with a lot of debt at the moment? How else does it affect the economy? What does it mean for people who've saved?
So it was expected, I suppose, is the first point to make. So the Rand had been strengthening up to that announcement, but it didn't react particularly largely because of this decision. Uh-huh. I do think it provides some relief to our economy, and we desperately need it. On the balance, it's slightly negative for savers and positive for debtors. But I think for the economy as a whole, we were struggling as an economy coming into this crisis, and so we really need all the stimulus that we can get.
Okay. All right, let's go overseas for a second. Hong Kong, the US, you want to look at those with us quickly?
Yeah, so on Friday, Hong Kong stocks were down close to 6% because of this proposed security law that China wants to impose. It's down another percent today. And I think what's interesting about this is it looks like it's understanding tiff, if you can call it that, between the US and China. And really, I think the market just doesn't know where things go from here, and it hates uncertainty, and that's why you're seeing such big drawdowns as a result.
Sure. Okay. US jobless claims is really the last thing we have to look at, because that's just the biggest story in America right now. And obviously, there are millions of people who now find themselves out of work and are claiming unemployment.
Yes.
And if America, as you've discussed with us many times, if America sneezes, we all get the cold.
Yes, and we definitely have the cold right now. So they said that last week they had, or the week before last week, sorry, they had 2.4 million people claiming unemployment. And that now brings the total amount of people that have claimed unemployment since it's to just under 39 million people.
Good heavens.
And to put that into... It's a massive number. And to put that into context, the U.S. workforce is about 150 or 160 million people. So it's roughly one in every four adult people who can work or are looking for work are out of work at the moment.
Yeah.
The big question is whether this is – how temporary is this? So will people be able to get some of these jobs back quickly, or is this a longer-term phenomenon?
We will have to wait and see, and we'll have to wait and see when we speak to you again. Thank you, Salehu. It's always good to check in with you, and thank you for the information. It's always good.
It's a pleasure as always.
All right, man. Speak to you later. Salehu Tsatsi giving us a little update in the Money Shot this morning. Useful and practical information for those of us who are concerned about where the money is, if there's any money, and what's going on. Ain't that a thing?
It sounded like you said impractical there.
No, practical.
Said useful and practical.
No, and practical. So yeah, please. It's never impractical with Salehu. It's always useful. All right, so I do want to ask this as a serious question this morning, because I did venture out of my house and I drove quite a way on Saturday. It wasn't cross-provincial travel, but it was the longest car journey I've taken since lockdown. And I did have a little of that, I don't know if you'd call it anxiety, but certainly that caution in my mind of like, I don't know if I'm comfortable yet with getting out of the house and traveling far. And I'm not a skittish person. I'm not nervous traveling. I wasn't nervous about the police. I only saw one police car on my way there and back. But the reality is, for a lot of people, going back into the world, venturing out into the world, which is something we used to do every day, we took for granted, it's going to feel different, right?
Yeah, just like there was an adjustment when lockdown first began, it's going to feel a bit different. And I think that a lot of employees need to keep this in mind as well. A lot of people are not going to want to return to work. The new anxiety is going to be losing your job. I know that's been the anxiety all along, but now it will be, okay, you're back at work. We're figuring out who's who, we're cutting the fat, etc., seeing people's dedication. So there's definitely a new anxiety that's going to happen. The other thing is, just being scared of perhaps contracting the disease as well, using public transport again, things like that. Getting back to normal things, going to a gym. I mean, are you really going to feel okay going to gym?
I know that I'm the outlier here, and most people will be a little apprehensive. But I also think, it was interesting to hear the president last night. He said, if parents are not comfortable sending their kids to school, they don't have to.
Yeah.
Now, it used to be, when I was a kid, it was the law that parents could not keep you out of school. In other words, your parents had no say. You had to go to a government school. Right? You had to go to school of some kind. And if they found you, like you were some weird outlier Amish person in the middle of the countryside who didn't send their kids to school, those parents could actually be brought up on charges, right? So now you've got the government saying the exact opposite. And I think for a lot of parents, this is probably what they're going to choose to do, even if they are tired of having their kids at home the whole time. They will keep their kids out of school.
Yeah, we didn't have Zoom back in that day. But Gareth, I had a talking to from my mum last night about exactly what you're talking to, because I was just like, if we're going to get out there, let's get on with it. And she had to stop me there, and she gave me a serious talking to. We're going to have empathy, because people have been so anxious for so long. And I hadn't really thought of it like that, because I'm emotionally repressed. But you're making a good point. We are going to have to be empathetic, employers, society.
So that people, the whole big outside world has been.
Go ahead.
We've now been taught that it's a scary place, and that's how our minds are thinking. And now we've got to go back into it. Things are like driving. It's going to feel weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
Also being safely locked in your house has felt okay. They even think simple things like having people look at you and judge you. You may have put on a bit of weight, or you might actually feel the opposite, that now that you've been wearing tracksuit pants for 2 months or 3 months, you don't care anymore.
Yeah, and my mom raised a great point last night. She said there's two things at work here from a psychological standpoint. Is for the first time in modern history, we've got individual and societal anxiety happening at the same time to people. And there is no way to alleviate that for anybody who suffers with anxiety. And I don't. So I haven't been empathetic to that.
Yeah.
In the naughty corner.
Yeah, there are people who just don't, who don't feel that kind of thing. But the majority of the people in the country are still. And I mean, I know some very sensible people, and I mean sensible in inverted commas, because I don't want to sound judgmental, who are pretty nervous about heading out of the house now. And life has changed immeasurably for those people. Now, I don't think that they're afraid deep down inside, but they've been told that the world is much scarier than they thought it was. And for them to reintegrate into society might take a little longer. So I think absolutely you've just got to be aware of this. It's not it, and saying, oh, well, that's stupid isn't going to make it better.
Yeah, that's what I had to learn last night.
No, no, you're not alone.
Look at you two.
I know. The two shitheads are trying to be nicer people.
Well, that's why you need a mom.
Ah.
Well, I think it's also a question of, you know, for most people, they're keen and anxious to get things going again. But that's not the case for everybody. For some people, there's genuine fear. There's trepidation. They've been told that terrible things are going to happen to them if they head out into the world. And we just have to, we have to be aware that that's the reality for those people.
Mm.
It's not going to change.
It's not emotionally honest, and it's not intellectually honest to not acknowledge that we've been living in anxiety, Gareth, and we have to acknowledge that everybody's in that.
Yeah, sadly, you're right. Doesn't make it any better, but it's true. All right.
Even people who don't suffer from anxiety have been doing strange things.
What do you mean?
Lockdown. There's, you know, you may be feeling a little bit more impulsive. People are acting a little more impulsively. For instance, people who would never have broken the law before are now like, fuck it, I'm just going to buy some cigarettes.
Yeah.
There've been people doing things like shaving their heads.
Yeah.
There are people who've been drinking more than they usually do. Mm-hmm. There's kind of this, you know, more lackadaisical and impulsivity when it comes to the way things have changed.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that online, and also some people who are just they're doing whatever they want. This guy sent me a video on Instagram. I don't know who he is, but he sent me a video over the weekend of him just walking his dog at any time he wants. He's like, I'm gonna do this because I can. And he's taking the dog for a walk. And I mean, I don't know that you should be putting yourself in danger of being arrested, which is obviously something that didn't happen to him, so good for him. But there are probably a lot of things that you shouldn't be doing that now you think you're doing almost to rebel.
Yeah, it's just out of boredom and frustration. Another thing that some people are doing, those with the luxury of having money, is overspending and online shopping and buying things that they don't really need.
Yeah. I mean, I saw an ad for these cameras that you can put up around your house, and they just connect to Wi-Fi, so you don't need cables or anything. I was like, ooh, that would be nice. I stopped myself just before I pressed buy. I was like, what am I doing? This is the dumbest thing ever.
We're sitting in that
cart, there's also the feeling of, I've been punished for so long, let me reward myself.
Yeah, stupid. Don't do it. You're gonna get
Dare I say that sounds sensible in my mind?
What does?
It's like, yeah, let me treat myself.
Let's have a splurge.
Don't do it.
Why not?
You're going to regret it a couple of months down the line when you needed that money for rent.
And wine.
Yeah. Please just be careful.
Yeah, and we're talking about like rent, car payments, food.
Yeah, and wine.
For Leanne, wine is essential. You don't understand. Just everybody just be very cautious at the moment. You heard what Selejo said about the, you know, these big businesses and the state of all of them. We should all just be a little just sensible about things for a little longer. Don't run and go and buy stuff you don't need.
New car.
God, no. Not a chance.
No, this is not the time to think of that drop top that you've always wanted.
Hell no. Unless you have tons of money, in which case you could have probably bought it for yourself at any time. Now it's still not the right time.
Ooh, like this new guy who I saw on social media who bought 5 luxury cars.
Uh-oh. You serious?
What was his name? But And I mean, like, one, the cheapest, in inverted commas, was a Jeep. And he's a South African guy. But, like, there was a Lamborghini in there, and a Lamborghini, like, was it a Maserati SUV? And now the last that I saw of it were people on Twitter trying to piece together who he is and where he lives and what his story is. But remember the last time we saw something of this magnitude was of the Sam Holdings debacle.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was a year or two ago
Him? Have they ever arrested that guy? Or
He was, like, properly investigated. So I think let's just hold steady for a couple of days before we find the identity of this guy.
I mean, if I was married to that guy, to someone who was buying Jeeps and Lamborghinis and things, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable about his mental stability.
No, you definitely should.
I hope everything is above board. No.
It's probably not. And also, why do you want to draw attention to yourself from SARS right now? You know, they're hungry for any tax money they can find. And the receiver of revenue is going to see that on social media. That we know this. We had Edward Kiesewetter on before he was SARS commissioner. And he said they used to, when he was SARS commissioner the first time, they used to actually go onto social media and check people out. And they would that's where they would find the information. And they'd go off to these people and say, hey, by the way, we saw you posting pictures of like your 20 cars on social media. So how can you be doing that? You owe us a couple of million rand.
And there was a series of videos. The one was the cars being delivered in a massive truck. And so, oh, his name is Hamilton Jove. Hamilton Jove.
Okay.
They've already identified him by his name. And of course, the delivery had drawn a crowd. So the community had come out to see this car being offloaded. And then the main video that got a lot of people's attention was of just panning over these five cars, and you can hear someone in the background, assumably Hamilton, saying, okay, yeah, no, this is for the wife, and oh, this car's for the parents, and oh, you know, this one is just for, you know, going around just casually. I'm thinking, okay.
It's not even attractive.
Yeah, but it is also, this is the poverty mentality, right? So if you have something.
Yeah, once you have it, you want the world to know.
Yeah, that and the attention-seeking, impulsivity, boredom, etc.
All of it's got just nasty consequences on the way for this Hamilton and Lovu. Good luck, dude. Your life is about to become a very messy place. So I know you think at the moment this is good. One day when he's crying, he's going to remember this day and go like, oh, I wish I hadn't. If I just shut up, if I just kept to myself how much money I was making. It's not going to go well. Poor guy. I feel sympathy. I genuinely feel sympathy for someone like that. He just has no idea of how bad things are. No.
And he's 31 years old.
No, he's a moron, and things are going to fall down around him very shortly, and he's going to make a lot of other people unhappy too.
So two Lamborghinis.
I'm not jealous of this guy at all.
Two Lamborghinis, a Porsche Cayenne, a Porsche Carrera, and a Jeep SRT.
I would sell all of those if I were him now, and I would be driving around in a Polo, and I'd shut up about the fact that I had some liquid capital around, because other people are going to be falling apart. What you should be doing, if you have any money right now, is looking at other businesses and saying, well, look, that little place there that sells, I don't know, they sell kids' shoes, they look like they're not going to make it through the month. Go in, say to the owner, hey, I'd like to buy 25% of your business. How much? You give him some cash, he can then tide over into the next 3 months, solves his cash flow problems, and you own 25% of a business that you know is going to work well. You get that money back in droves. That's the clever thing to do. You don't go buy a car. What's wrong with you? You go to the little chemist down the road and you say to him, how are you guys doing? Well, you know, we were only allowed 3 customers through the door at a time during lockdown, and things are really tough, and we've got all the stock we can't move, and basically, you know, they've got a shortfall of like 500,000 rand. And you say to them, well, I'll give you the 500,000 rand, but I want 15% of your business. And they'll say, sure, thank you very much. Then you get 15% of all the money they're going to make over the next 5 years. Are you kidding? Don't be dumb. Buy a car. How do you make money back on a car? You don't.
You don't. It depreciates.
So Hamilton Glover is proving how stupid he is. And he's going to get investigated by SARS for his troubles. So he's got a horrible life coming at him. Don't be jealous of him with his cars. I promise you, you're going to be in a better position than him. That's the truth.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. We've got to get to the rest of the show. Man, it's just after 7 o'clock. CliffCentral.com. We've got a busy day ahead for you. We've also got to speak to a guy called Alan Todd, who's the director of research at All Told. We'll find out what South Africans are thinking at the moment. Something that I'm sure you're as interested in as I am, because God alone knows. We're all thinking things, but we need to know that we're in the majority, or at least that we're thinking about things that other people are also thinking about. Makes sense of the world, you know? So let's find out. He's done some research, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Let's take a look at that. That's coming up next. right here on cliffcentral.com. It's 7 after 7, bright and early on a Monday morning. Cliffcentral.com.